Welcome back to the deep dive, especially to all of you out there I like to call the learner. The folks who want to understand how the world actually works without, drowning in a sea of academic jargon.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Exactly. And on the desk today, we have a pretty fascinating stack of sources. We're looking at industry surveys, some case studies from global manufacturers, and a few technological white papers. And our mission for this deep dive is to basically unmask a phrase you've probably heard thrown around constantly: digital transformation in manufacturing.
Right. It's everywhere.
It is. We are going to cut through the corporate buzzwords to figure out how data, AI, and automation are fundamentally rewiring how the physical products we buy are designed, built, and delivered. Because when you close your eyes and think of the word manufacturing, there is a very specific, almost cinematic movie that tends to play in our heads.
Oh, for sure.
It's incredibly loud. There are sparks flying everywhere.
It's a very industrial age aesthetic.
Yeah.
Heavy machinery pounding away, massive smokestacks, and, endless miles of conveyor belts moving under fluorescent lights.
Right. Hundreds of people in hard hats doing the exact same manual motion over and over again to build identical products.
Yeah.
But looking at the data in front of us, that image is becoming completely obsolete. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a total rewiring of how the physical world is built. So, okay, let's unpack this. Because one of our sources notes that 92% of surveyed manufacturers say smart manufacturing is going to be their main driver of competitiveness over the next 3 years.
Right.
92%. But I have to push back a little here.
Okay.
Digital transformation is one of those phrases that executives just love to put on a slide deck, just to appease their shareholders.
No, absolutely.
So is this simply the industry trying to sound trendy, or is the traditional way of making things actually broken?
Well, it has nothing to do with chasing a trend. It's purely about survival. Yeah. To understand why, we should first establish what this transformation actually entails. It's the deep integration of digital technologies, real-time data, and artificial intelligence to bridge the physical world of the factory floor with the digital world of software.
Okay.
Traditional manufacturing relied on brute force. So specialized, highly rigid machinery, massive amounts of manual labor, long lead times, and building huge inventories just in case market demand spiked.
Right, the just-in-case model.
Exactly. But digital manufacturing completely flips that script. It's about agility, keeping inventories incredibly lean, and being able to pivot production lines almost instantly based on data.
So why this sudden urgency? I mean, if the old brute force method worked for a century, why are 92% of these companies scrambling to pivot right now? I'm assuming it's not just because computers got faster.
No, it comes down to a convergence of several massive pressures.
Yeah.
Supply chain disruptions have caused absolute chaos over the last few years, which makes it, dangerous to rely on slow and flexible systems.
Yeah, that makes sense.
At the same time, operational costs are continuously climbing. But the absolute most urgent driver, like the existential threat keeping factory owners up at night, is a devastating labor shortage.
Oh, so the people in the hard hats are missing.
Exactly. The industry is facing a projected shortfall of 3.8 million additional manufacturing workers needed between 2024 and 2033.
Wait, almost 4 million workers? That's not a gap, that's a chasm.
Yeah, you physically cannot maintain the old manual way of doing things when you are missing that many people. You can't just, mandate that the running workers move faster.
Right.
So automation and AI are no longer luxury upgrades or pet projects for these companies. They are foundational requirements simply to keep the lights on and close that massive workforce gap.
Okay, so if we are literally missing millions of hands to do the physical work, what is actually replacing them on the floor? Are we just talking about standard robotic arms bolting doors onto cars? Because I'm trying to visualize the difference here. It feels like this shift from traditional manufacturing to digital manufacturing is a lot like baking.
Baking, okay. I'm intrigued by where you're taking this.
Hear me out. Traditional manufacturing is like baking a massive industrial-sized batch of identical chocolate chip cookies, shoving them into a giant warehouse, and just crossing your fingers that people show up to buy them before they go stale.
Okay, sure.
But digital manufacturing sounds like having a smart oven, an oven that knows exactly what flavor you want today. It actively alerts you before its own heating element breaks, and it only bakes the exact number of cookies that are needed right when the customer asks for them.
That analogy actually maps perfectly to the core technologies we're looking at, because that smart oven doesn't just exist. It has to be powered by a very specific set of interconnected tools.
Wait.
And the foundation of all of it is IoT. The Internet of Things.
So putting sensors on everything.
Yeah.
But how does that actually change the output of a factory? I mean, a sensor just sits there and watches.
Well, in a traditional setup, a machine is an isolated island. It operates until a human turns it off, or, you know, until it breaks. In digital manufacturing, IoT sensors are embedded into the equipment, the assembly lines, even the physical materials themselves.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, these sensors continuously measure variables like vibration, temperature, acoustic output, and energy consumption. So they translate the physical state of the factory into a constant stream of digital data. Manufacturers aren't guessing how the line is performing. They have real-time, granular visibility into every millisecond of the operation.
But raw data alone doesn't bake the cookie. A massive spreadsheet of temperature readings isn't going to build a car faster.
Which brings us to the second layer, AI and predictive maintenance. This is where your smart oven analogy really shines.
Okay.
Artificial intelligence doesn't just catalog the data, it digests it to anticipate the future. Let's say an IoT sensor on a robotic drill is tracking vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
The AI model analyzes that specific frequency and compares it to millions of hours of historical performance data. It recognizes that a subtle flutter in the vibration means a bearing inside the drill is wearing down, and it calculates that the drill will fail in exactly 42 hours.
Oh, I see. So it's eliminating the element of surprise entirely. You replace the bearing on a Tuesday afternoon during a planned 15-minute maintenance window, rather than having the drill physically shatter on a Friday night, which, you know, halts the entire assembly line for 3 days.
Exactly. Unplanned downtime can cost a large manufacturer tens of thousands of dollars per minute. Predictive maintenance practically eliminates that risk. But AI goes even further upstream into the design and planning phase with a concept called digital twins. This is arguably one of the most powerful tools in modern manufacturing.
A digital twin. It sounds a bit like sci-fi cloning. I'm imagining a highly detailed video game version of the factory.
It's far more sophisticated than a video game. A digital twin is a perfect virtual replica of a physical asset, but it is governed by actual real-world physics and continuously synchronized with real-time data.
Okay.
It could be a replica of a single jet engine, a complex assembly line, or even the entire factory layout.
Wait, how does that actually work mechanically? Does the physical machine talk to the digital one?
Yes. The sensors on the physical machine we just talked about, they measure vibration, temperature, and output every second. That data is piped into a 3D model sitting on a server.
Right.
If the real machine starts running hot, the digital machine's temperature rises synchronously. The physics engine then calculates the exact stress that heat is putting on the digital components.
Wow.
So before a company ever builds a physical prototype, or before they reconfigure a massive multi-million-dollar assembly line in the real world, they simulate the entire process in the digital twin.
Oh, I see the power in that. You can run a simulation to see if a new factory layout is going to cause a bottleneck of parts, and you can fast forward the simulation by 6 months to see the result without ever unbolting a single piece of heavy machinery in reality.
The savings in time and wasted materials are staggering. And speaking of prototypes, the final core technology bridging that 3.8 million worker gap is industrial 3D printing, or additive manufacturing.
I have to admit, when I think of 3D printing, I still picture those little plastic desktop machines making trinkets.
Yeah, industrial 3D printing is on an entirely different level. Traditionally, if you wanted to manufacture a custom part, you had to machine a specific tool or cast a mold, which is expensive and creates a mass amount of scrap material.
Right.
3D printing builds the part layer by layer directly from a digital file. It slashes tooling costs, virtually eliminates material waste, and allows for rapid prototyping that used to take weeks to happen in a matter of hours.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because concepts like physics engine, digital twins, and predictive AI sound fantastic in a sterile laboratory. But factories are messy and chaotic. Let's look at the receipts from our sources to see how this magic actually survives on the factory floor right now. You mentioned 3D printing reducing timelines to hours. The research highlights a company called Local Motors.
Oh, they are a fantastic case study. They developed the Strati electric car.
Yes. They used large-scale 3D printing to create the entire body of this electric vehicle. In traditional automotive manufacturing, creating a car body requires massive stamping presses, weeks or months of tooling, and complex logistics to weld hundreds of individual pieces together. Local Motors manufactured the vehicle in 44 hours.
The completely assembled body in under 2 days.
But I have to push back here. 44 hours is incredibly fast. But if I'm driving down the highway at 70 miles an hour, I don't want to be sitting in a plastic shell that got squeezed out of a tube over the weekend.
Right.
Is a 3D-printed car actually safe or durable compared to traditional stamped steel?
It's a very valid concern, but industrial 3D printing doesn't use the flimsy plastic you find in desktop printers. Vehicles like the Strati are printed using advanced composite materials, often carbon fiber-reinforced polymers. Okay. These materials can be engineered to be incredibly lightweight while maintaining a tensile strength that rivals traditional metals. Because it's printed as a continuous unified structure rather than hundreds of bolted together parts, it can actually reduce structural weak points. It fundamentally changes the economics and physics of producing goods.
Another fascinating receipt from the sources comes from BMW. They're deploying AI-powered computer vision systems in their manufacturing facilities. Now, human quality inspectors have been looking at cars on assembly lines for a century. How does a camera connected to an AI know better than a seasoned human who has inspected 10,000 vehicles?
Well, human eyes suffer from fatigue, cognitive bias, and simple distraction. An inspector looking at their 500th car of the shift might miss a millimeter-wide paint defect.
It's true.
BMW's computer vision system analyzes the production data and recommends tailored quality checks for each specific vehicle on the line based on its unique configuration. The high-resolution cameras capture images, and the AI analyzes them at the pixel level, spotting microscopic defects, misalignments, or inconsistencies in real time. It operates with a level of tireless consistency that simply isn't biologically possible for human inspectors.
And this transformation isn't just about assembling the physical object. It's about managing the flow of the goods to the consumer. The sources mention a global consumer electronics leader. We've all likely owned one of their devices. They were trapped in a classic supply chain nightmare. Frequent stockouts where they didn't have enough of a popular product, and simultaneously, massive excess inventory of other products just gathering dust in warehouses.
Right, a scenario that ties up millions of dollars in dead capital.
So they deployed a machine learning model to fix it. My instinct is that they just fed it a spreadsheet of what sold last month to guess what would sell next month.
It went far beyond basic historical data. The machine learning model digested historical sales, absolutely. But it also actively pulled in seasonal trends, upcoming weather patterns in distribution hubs, social media sentiment, and external macroeconomic indicators.
Hello.
It analyzed thousands of variables simultaneously to connect dots. A human supply chain manager could never process fast enough.
The result from the source is staggering. They cut their excess inventory by 20% and significantly reduce their stockouts. That is millions of dollars dropping straight to the bottom line just by letting AI manage the flow. It's the smart oven baking only what's needed exactly when it's needed.
A perfect execution of agility.
But this raises a major flag for me. Yeah. You're talking about BMW. We are talking about massive global consumer electronics brands. These companies have billions of dollars in free cash flow to spend on experimental R&D. What about smaller businesses? Can a local manufacturer actually play in this space, or is digital transformation purely a playground for the corporate giants?
The democratization of these tools is actually one of the most exciting parts of the data. It is absolutely scaling down to smaller businesses with incredibly impressive results.
Okay.
The sources feature a quote from Brent Goshnick, the director of G&M Craftsman Cabinets. He runs a third-generation custom cabinet-making business.
So we are talking very traditional craftsmanship, saws, sawdust, wood grain, and highly manual labor.
The definition of traditional manufacturing. But he integrated Canva's AI design tools directly into their customer consultation process. In the past, helping a client visualize a custom kitchen required someone hunched over a drafter table or manually rendering complex computer files for days.
Yeah.
Now they use AI to instantly generate multiple photorealistic design concepts, showing clients exactly what their custom kitchen will look like with different materials and lighting before a single piece of wood is ever touched.
Manual drafting went from taking days down to taking hours. The sources note his team can now complete 30% more consultations every single month. And because the clients can vividly see their dream kitchen rather than trying to imagine it from a 2D blueprint, their close rate on deals jumped by 22%.
Yeah, the AI acted as a translation layer when clients couldn't articulate what they wanted.
Wow.
It fundamentally improved their sales pipeline without altering the physical craftsmanship of the final product. But there was a critical hidden benefit as well, which mirrors the global electronics example we just discussed. G&M Craftsman Cabinets utilized AI to analyze their historical material usage patterns.
By accurately forecasting exactly how much raw wood, hardware, and finish they would actually need, They negotiated better bulk deals with suppliers and dropped their inventory costs by 15%. A 15% drop in carrying costs for a small family business is massive. It frees up cash that used to be trapped in excess lumber sitting in a warehouse.
They ensured they never ran short on critical materials for high-end projects while simultaneously becoming incredibly lean.
Okay, I have to step back. With cars being built in 44 hours and custom cabinet makers seeing a 22% jump in sales while dropping inventory costs, why isn't every single factory and workshop on the planet doing this immediately? It sounds completely foolish not to.
Well, this raises an important question because integrating this technology is decidedly not plug and play. There is immense friction involved in making this leap, and the research outlines several massive hurdles that companies must clear. The most obvious is the high upfront investment.
Industrial AI and robotics don't come cheap.
No. Implementing advanced 3D printing, sensor networks, and autonomous robotics requires serious capital expenditure. And you aren't just purchasing the shiny new hardware. You have to upgrade your entire foundational infrastructure to support it.
Right.
The factory's digital network needs to be robust enough that a robotic arm doesn't lose its Wi-Fi connection while holding a plasma cutter.
That would be bad.
Very bad. Then you run into the skills gap.
We mentioned missing 4 million manual workers earlier. But you're saying they need a totally different kind of worker now to run the new system.
Yeah, the physical labor gap is being replaced by a digital labor gap. Manufacturers desperately need people who understand CAD, CAM, robotics programming, and advanced data analytics.
Just to clarify for anyone unfamiliar, CAD is computer-aided design, the software used to draw and engineer the 3D digital model. And CAM is computer-aided manufacturing, the software that takes that digital drawing and translates it into the exact mathematical code a robotic drill needs to physically cut the metal.
Exactly. Finding and retaining employees with those highly specialized digital skills is incredibly competitive and difficult right now, which leads to the third major roadblock, legacy systems.
I can imagine this is a nightmare. I'm picturing a factory in the Midwest that's been running the exact same reliable metal stamping machine since 1984. You can't just plug a shiny new cloud-based AI module into a 40-year-old piece of iron.
Many manufacturers are operating on deeply outdated software and heavy machinery that were engineered decades before the internet existed, let alone artificial intelligence. They lack modern communication protocols or open APIs.
Oh, man.
Modernizing these systems is perilous. You have to somehow force brand new digital tech to communicate with ancient enterprise software and old analog equipment.
It sounds like trying to bolt a smartphone onto a steam engine.
That is a phenomenal metaphor. If that integration isn't flawless, the data doesn't flow, and you don't unlock any of the value. Finally, there is the friction of workforce adaptation.
Okay.
Even if you miraculously get the tech working flawlessly, you are fundamentally disrupting human job roles. Certain manual tasks vanish, while new, highly technical tasks emerge. It requires a massive amount of reskilling, empathy, and change management to get the existing workforce to trust and collaborate with their new algorithmic systems.
So how does a company avoid being completely paralyzed by all those roadblocks?
Yeah.
If I own that factory with the 40-year-old machines, do I just have to rip out the concrete, shut down production for a year, and build a new smart factory from scratch?
Mm-hmm.
Because no business can survive a year of zero revenue.
The sources are emphatic that you do not rip it all out. Transformation is a gradual climb, not a single massive leap. The experts outline a highly strategic 5-stage roadmap to scale these initiatives and avoid catastrophic failure.
Okay.
Stage one is simply to collect data. Do not buy a single robot yet. Add IoT sensors to your existing legacy machines and start gathering information. Break down the data silos to find out where your factory is actually bleeding time and money.
So once you have that massive pile of sensor data from stage one, my instinct would be to immediately go out and buy the automated robotic arms to fix whatever the data says is slow.
That is actually the most common and costly mistake companies make.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Stage two is optimize processes. You use the insights you just gathered to improve your workflows using the resources you already have. You fix resource allocation. You rearrange the floor plan to eliminate walking distance. You remove manual bottlenecks.
You have to clean your room before you buy expensive new furniture.
Precisely. You don't want to automate a broken process. You just end up doing the wrong thing faster.
Right.
Only then do you reach stage three. Implement tech. This is where you deploy the AI, the digital twins, or the cloud platforms, but you deploy them specifically and narrowly where the data prove they will deliver immediate ROI, like the cabinet maker, starting strictly with customer visualization before overhauling their physical shop.
What happens in stage four?
Stage four is integrate systems. This is often the hardest part. You take that successful narrow tech and connect it across the entire enterprise. You link the shop floor data directly to the supply chain software and the sales dashboard to create true real-time visibility across the whole company. And finally, stage five is continuous improvement. It's an ongoing cultural commitment to monitoring the new systems, refining the algorithms, and ensuring the human workers are adapting alongside the technology.
It's a very pragmatic blueprint. But let's look ahead for a moment. Say a factory actually survives the friction and makes it to stage five. They're fully connected, the digital twins are running simulations, the IoT sensors are humming on the 1984 stamping machine. What is the next frontier? Where is the cutting edge of this industry heading?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the sources highlight three major trends that will define the next decade of manufacturing. The first is hyperautomation.
Hyperautomation. That sounds intense, like the factory is running at warp speed.
It's less about speed and more about scope. It means moving away from automating a single isolated task like a robot arm welding a door, and instead using a mesh of AI and robotics to automate entire end-to-end workflows. The system autonomously manages the entire life cycle, from the second a customer clicks order on a website, through procurement, scheduling, assembly, and quality control, right up to the moment the product leaves the loading dock.
Total seamless system synchronization. What's the second trend?
Sustainable manufacturing. Sustainability is no longer just a compliance checklist for the marketing department. It is shifting into a core business strategy. Consumers and regulators are demanding eco-friendly practices.
Right.
Digital technology gives manufacturers the granular visibility required to monitor energy consumption at the machine level, drastically lower carbon emissions, and optimize resource usage to create true zero-waste facilities.
The smart oven uses exactly the right amount of electricity,
yep,
bakes at the perfect temperature, and doesn't burn or waste a single ounce of dough.
A perfect continuation of the analogy. But the third trend is arguably the most paradigm-shifting. It's the rise of agentic AI.
Agentic AI. How is that functionally different from the predictive AI and machine learning they are already using?
Well, traditional AI tools, for the most part, are reactive. They respond to prompts, you give it historical data, and it gives you a forecast. You ask it to find a defect, and it highlights a pixel.
Right.
Agentic AI acts as an autonomous agent. It is designed to make independent decisions and execute complex multi-step tasks with zero human intervention.
So it's not just popping up an alert on a screen telling a human that a cargo ship carrying critical microchips is delayed.
No. The agentic AI recognizes the delay, autonomously reroutes an alternative shipment of microchips via air freight from a different supplier, recalculates the financial impact, and instantly reschedules the entire factory floor's production timeline to accommodate the new delivery time. All without a human manager ever clicking a button.
Wow.
These digital agents will run the logistics and respond to operational emergencies in real time.
So what does this all mean? We started this deep dive talking about the 3.8 million physical workers missing from the industry and the existential need for companies to evolve just to survive. But what we are really talking about is why the physical goods we buy every single day are about to become highly customized, dramatically higher in quality, and produced with a much lighter footprint on the environment. It is a total ground-up rewiring of the physical economy.
Yeah, it really is.
The heavy, rigid, manual factory of the past is being replaced by an ecosystem that feels almost biological, constantly sensing, thinking, and adapting to the world around it.
It is a remarkable evolution, but it brings up a fascinating dilemma as we move forward. Agentic AI is designed to make autonomous, highly logical decisions to optimize the entire factory ecosystem. But think about the friction this will cause. If a facility achieves true hyperautomation and an AI agent is running the global supply chain and the minute-by-minute production schedule based on billions of data points, what happens when a human manager's gut intuition, built over 30 years of industry experience, directly conflicts with the AI's data-driven decision?
Oh, that is a deeply uncomfortable situation for any executive.
Exactly. What happens when the AI decides the most efficient path forward is one the human fundamentally disagrees with? In the digital manufacturing world of tomorrow, who is actually the boss of the factory floor? Is it the human who holds the deed to the building, or is it the digital agent that perfectly understands and controls every single molecule of the operation?
That is a wild thought to leave on. The next time you picture manufacturing, we shouldn't be imagining smokestacks, sparks, and endless batches of identical cookies. We should be imagining a massive digital brain, debating with a human manager over how to orchestrate the perfect physical outcome. Something for all of us to think about. Until next time, keep learning.